You may be seated. And what can I get for you? The words a server in a restaurant asks us when it's our turn to order, right? What can I get for you? Maybe sometimes we respond back, maybe if we're new to a place, well, what do you recommend? You know, what's popular around here? But the idea comes down to, what are you hungry for? What do you feel like eating? I don't want to talk too much about food right now because I'm starting to get hungry myself. But here's the thing. I think for us who live here, particularly in the United States, we're surrounded by plenty. You know, we have enough food to choose from. And that's an incredible blessing. And I think it's a blessing for most of us because I think a lot of us, we enjoy eating. We take pleasure in eating and food and all that that means. And when we eat, I think, you know, part of it is we want to be satisfied. We want to feel full. We want to enjoy what we are taking in. We want to be satisfied. It's interesting if you look at the different readings for today, and particularly beginning with the Old Testament lesson for today in the book of Exodus, and the context, because it has to do with food. So we're barely 2 months out. As you know the story, the Israelites were in captivity as slaves in Egypt for 400 and some years. And they finally were delivered. They were able to escape and find freedom. And they're 2 months out. They're delivered from slavery. They've crossed the Red Sea. They know freedom. And they came from an oasis in the desert just briefly, and now they're out there in the desert, just this arid wasteland, basically looking at that right now. And whatever food supplies they had brought with them from Egypt, if there were anything things left, you know, their leftovers are gone. And the people complained. Whatever they had is gone. And it's interesting because it says the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You hear that word grumble, and it's a disturbing word when you hear it, because we've probably grumbled about some things in life, and we've heard other people grumble around us at times, and it's just one of those words. They grumbled. If only, and it's interesting what they're saying, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we at least had, but here we have nothing. Isn't it interesting? And in his mercy, the Lord promised to send help to the grumbling people. And you come to realize, holy cow, the patience of God is amazing. They've only been gone less than 2 months. And they've already forgotten what it was like to be slaves in Egypt. Somehow they forgot how God orchestrated their escape, how he brought them and in deliverance across the Red Sea. They're out of slavery. They are finally free. And what does God the server say when they grumble? I will rain down bread from heaven, and there will be enough food for all of you to eat each day. It says, I have heard their grumbling. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. That's amazing. God is going to meet their physical needs. He's not going to lead them out of Egypt after they've been in slavery all those years and just send them out there with nothing. If God is going to call you to something, he's going to either equip you with what you need or provide what you need if he's calling you to something. But he wanted them to learn to trust him to be the server of the true food they needed most, and to know ultimately where it all comes from. And what can I get for you? We have to be careful because that statement is true, you know, we are what we eat. Too much of the wrong things will have an effect. And we are, in a sense, what we eat. And Jesus is saying in the gospel lesson for today, think about what you choose. Paul is saying the same thing in the New Testament lesson in Ephesians 4. And in the New Testament lesson, if you continue on, it's a call to maturity in the faith. The goal of a faithful ministry. And none of that's going to happen if we are not eating spiritually properly. If we're not spiritually taking in the right kinds of stuff or food, it's not going to happen. So it's a call to eat. Take in the word. Take in this bread of life so that we can see and know what God wants to reveal to us. That's what we see in the message in John chapter 6 in the gospel reading. We are taught to have God feed us, or else we will be trying to fill ourselves with things that don't really satisfy the hunger of our souls. So you see, we long to be full and satisfied. So we eat. It's true physically, but it's also true emotionally. We try to fill ourselves. Because in some form or fashion, we all have different kinds of hungers in our life. And we try to take in things that we think will satisfy where those hungers lie. And by eating, we fill ourselves so that we can, again, feel satisfied. But there's some lessons to be learned in all of this. Because Jesus is the bread of life, and partaking of this bread is more than just going through the mechanics of just physically eating something. It's finding the ultimate satisfaction in Christ. And we must learn to have God feed us. Or else what we're always going to be doing is finding a way or trying to fill ourselves with things that don't really satisfy our soul's hunger. And the teaching moment started in all of this, particularly with Jesus here in John 6. Is, all right, there's the miracle that Jesus performed when he fed the multitude. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people fed. And the intent was to, in a sense, reveal to the people who truly Jesus was, not just to make a lot of food for people to eat. They were to look beyond that. But again, it's what we latch on to. In the gospel lesson, the people are all wound up. And it's interesting, is you just kind of, you can sense the tension or the tenseness in the people. Where is he? Where is he? And they're doing everything they can. I thought he was over here. No, he's over there. And they all chasing after him to go find him. And it's not because, hey, Jesus, we just love what you were teaching. You're the guy that made the bread. You're the guy that fed us. And he says, you're hunting me down. You're looking for me because you just want me to make more food for you, to take care of you physically, because you had your fill. It's all about their attitude that fuels their quest. He's the guy that's going to take care of us physically. We got to be careful with that, because that, we see that happening in our world today. All people want is, hey, you take care of my physical needs. Got to be careful. The things that we crave, the things that we desire, outside world to provide for us. And they try to move to exploit it for their own ends. And it says they want to come and make him king by force. Here's the deal. Feed at the meal served by Jesus. Because you come to realize what he's really trying to offer, something more than just physical food, physical bread. It's life itself. But all along here, we have to be warned against going after the wrong things. We need to understand what it means to be fed by God. And we have the examples here in Scripture. You know, Jesus does feed the 5,000. Yes, in the Old Testament, there's a story there. God provides for them miraculously in a place like that. He gives them this thing called manna, this source of food every morning. He provides for them. But here's the thing. they still ate it, and eventually they would still die. Jesus could continue to make, you know, multiply loaves and fish for the people, but they're still going to ultimately physically die. There's something else that they need. It's more than just the physical. How can I get this bread, this food that lasts forever? How can I find something that will not diminish before the next meal? It's to find it in Jesus. We all need the physical bread to live. Yes, we all do. But there's something else that's even more necessary. The problem is we live in this consumer society of ours. And once we, in a sense, we go after what we think we want, and then we got it, and now it's ours, and now we got to go after something else. And it's just this ongoing thing to try to satisfy, you know, the physical material desires that we have to gratify us. And it's almost like some things we go after and take by force, almost like they wanted to get a hold of Jesus. They wanted to kidnap him, take him, promote him, Jesus as their hero. It's almost like they wanted to make him their poster boy for what they wanted. They wanted a political king. And Jesus keeps saying, I'm not that kind of king for you. And when the feeling wears off the next day, again, the people are hungry. That's why he says, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. They do finally say, well, give us this bread then. The true source of manna was not Moses, it was God. The one who sends the true bread from heaven is not, it's God who sends them the living bread. He is the person. The bread of God is a person, it's Christ. And they say, give us this bread. I think when we look at this and we put all these scriptures together, it's kind of like a challenge to consider, you know, our thoughts, our choices. What are the things we normally feast on in life? What are the things we're going after in life? And how does that compare with what he's offering? And if we start feeding on what he's offering, we'll start seeing and feeling the effects. If it's true that we are what we eat, we'll start seeing the effects spelled out there in Ephesians 4. You'll see people being edified or encouraged in the faith. You'll see them exercising discernment and understanding things. They're not going to be tossed here and there. They're going to be expressing God's love in the world. That's going to be happening as they take and eat what God offers. Not too long ago, there was a survey that was done by the American Bible Society, and it was on the state of the Bible. And I mean, obviously it was done by the Bible Society, but interesting conclusions or things that they found, and they found that the people who were more Bible engaged, and what that meant was they read the Bible multiple times each week. They, in the survey, had more expressed or had more hope than those who did not. They were strengthened by their Bible reading. And they said it's even greater impact when it's read with other people in a group setting, because they can benefit from the relationships that they develop with the people there, and they've then become a source of comfort and encouragement. It just kind of makes natural sense, right? The more we are engaged with that source, the more it rubs off and we become what that offers. I guess as we wrap this up this morning, here's what I can offer you. I can offer you a Savior, someone who on your behalf died on the cross for you to offer you forgiveness for your sins, a promise of a relationship with God, the promise of eternal life. I can offer you a mystery that when you come this morning and receive bread and wine and communion, that in a mysterious, in a very special, in a very real way, you are receiving the very body and blood of Christ. And as you take and eat, and as you take and drink, in a sense what you are receiving and taking is God's love and his gift of forgiveness for you, and the promise that you are his child. God says, you are mine. I love you. Go in peace. Every day we look at the things that we take in, you know? Do I eat this or do I eat that? What do I take in? God offers us something that we all need and what we need most. And that's the gift of his son Jesus, the true bread of life. That's the meal that truly satisfies and fills us and gives us what we all need most. May we receive that gift today and each and every day understand what we can take in and receive as God's gift to us. It's a great gift. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word, for the gift of your son Jesus, who is the bread of life, the source of life itself. God, you give us a hunger and a thirst for that in our own daily Bible reading, in our time of prayer and quietness, but also in times like this when we gather together as your people and we look around and say, well, I'm not doing this journey alone. And I can do this with other people. We can encourage each other along the way. Thank you for this gift of communion that we can receive again this morning too, and what that nourishes us with. Good words from you, promises from you, strength from you as we go out to live our life this week. And help us just to reflect what you have shared with us. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.